Good. Okay, we're going to start a new class series today. The title of our class is Finding Your Gift, Finding Your Voice. So turn to 1 Peter 4, and we will read our theme scripture. But the first thing we wanted to do is give a big thank you to Alan and Harold and Jeff and Art for teaching the John class. Amen. We especially want to thank Alan for organizing that class. Alan also organized this class. I'm teaching the intro, but Alan actually organized it. Alan does a great job planning and teaching many, if not most, of our adult classes, and we should be very grateful for his efforts, both now and through the years. Alan has done that in a tremendous way. Amen. Okay, we're going to pray when we to start. One thing I just wanted to ask everyone to do, this isn't related to the class, but next Saturday, some leaders around Atlanta are getting together and just discuss some ideas about unity in Atlanta and how to make that better. So if everyone could be praying about that meeting, pray that God's will would really be done and it would be a great meeting and accomplish God's purpose, I would greatly appreciate it. Amen. Well, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this class today. Thank you for the new series that we're going to start today. We pray it would be encouraging. We pray that it would help us all to find our gift and find our voice, that we could serve you in a greater and greater way. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can study it. We thank you that we have a great facility like this. We can come to every Sunday, look at your word, and then worship you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Our theme scripture is 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. Let's read. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay. By God's grace, as Peter says here, we each have gifts God gave us to serve one another. And don't think that you don't have a gift. Don't think that, oh, I can't contribute anything to God's church, to God's people, to God's purposes. You can. You are here because you can. God picked you. God created you. God gave you the gifts, the things that are unique about you. And all of us are here and called into his kingdom so that we can contribute our gifts. And as it says here, bring God glory. Amen? Amen. You know, if it says here to serve with all the strength God supplies. That's what we do with our gifts. We serve. We serve God. We serve each other. He also mentions speaking here. You know, speak as though speaking the very oracles of God. And that can probably refer mostly to public speaking, like I'm doing right now. But I think it can also apply to when we speak to one each other in a godly way. When we are encouraging one another. You know, when we're building each other up. When we're teaching and counseling one another with God's word. When we're expressing sympathy in times of grief or difficulty or stress in each other's lives. Whenever we are speaking in this way to each other, Peter says here, speak as though you were speaking on behalf of God, speaking the very words of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this class, that we want to find our gifts so we can put it to use and be inspired to use it, so that we can find our voice. You know, what is it God wants us to say to other people, to each other? You know, find our voice. What is it that we can use to help other people? Okay, and how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to look at a series of Old Testament characters. People who found their voice or found their gift to serve God. And we're going to look at men, we're going to look at women, and they're just like us. Okay, they're not some superheroes. They're people just like us. That had weaknesses, strengths, gifts, things God gave them, but they also had weaknesses, shortcomings. They're just like us. But God used them. He used them to carry out His will. He used them to do things on His behalf and on behalf of His people. So that's what we're going to look at from the Old Testament. And we have a broad group of teachers to teach this class. I am not teaching this class. I'm just teaching today and one other Sunday. But Alan has assembled a multi-generational group of teachers. Okay? So we have baby boomers like me. Yes, some of the teachers will be like me. But we also have Generation Xers who will be doing some of the teaching. Amen? And we even have millennials that will be doing some of the teaching. Okay? So it's a broad group generationally. It's also from a variety of backgrounds. We have white Americans like me. We have African Americans. We have a Latino. We have marrieds. We have single. So we have a people from a broad array of backgrounds. And what we hope is that one or more of the teachers and one or more of the Old Testament characters will be somebody you can relate to, somebody that will inspire you, someone that will help you find your gift and find your voice. And if it's not who's speaking today, well, hopefully it'll be the person who speaks next week, okay? And if it's not today's characters, it'll be next week's characters. So hopefully there will be something in this class that will inspire you, and maybe several somethings, I'm hoping, that will inspire you to find your voice and find your gift, and we can all serve God in a greater way. Amen? Okay. Now, I heard a rumor that Women's Day yesterday was terrific. That rumor must have been true. Well, and we had some sharing by women yesterday. Well, that's going to continue today. Today we have two stories about women. We're going to share their stories. Now, they're not women in our congregation. They're women who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and their stories are recorded in the Bible. Each of them had very big challenges to overcome. Okay, as I said before, they're people with weaknesses like us. These women are not paragons of virtue. Okay, these are not the Virgin Mary. These are women who had issues in their life. But you will see that God used them. He used them as part of His plan to send Jesus to come to the earth and save us from our sins. So I hope, like me, you will be inspired by these women and how they overcame their circumstances and found their voice to serve God. Amen? We will also have some Bible trivia today. Now, the Collier family loves Jeopardy. As people know who've come to our house, we watch Jeopardy every night. Nadia watched it with us this week. So my first trivia question, and you got to raise your hand. You can't just yell it out. No, it's very easy. My first trivia question is, what tribe did Jesus belong to? Judah. Very good. Lots of people knew that. Several hands went up. Okay. Next question, almost as easy, about as easy. Who's the most famous Old Testament character from the tribe of Judah? Who said it?
David.
Someone said it without raising their hand. David. Okay, King David. Okay, so he was also from the tribe of Judah. And many kings came from David's line, right? Solomon, obviously. Hezekiah, Josiah, all the kings of Judah came from the line of David. And of course, Jesus Himself came from the line of David. The Bible says the Messiah would come from the line of David. And so they were all part of the tribe of Judah. Okay, here's one. You know, in Jeopardy, they have stupid answers. This is a stupid question. Who started the tribe of Judah? Peter knows.
Judah.
Oh, very good. Judah started the tribe of Judah. Yes. Judah was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name changed to Israel. And his 12 sons each started a tribe, sort of. They each started a tribe, and Judah's tribe was one of the most significant tribes, and of course became the tribe through which the line of kings came. So exactly how does Jesus' family tree and David's connect back to Judah? How does that work? Do we go to genealogy.com? No, we go to Matthew chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to turn there right now, but if you go to Matthew chapter 1, it has the genealogy of Jesus all laid out from Adam, you know, through Judah, through David, down to Jesus. Steve McKenna preached a sermon on this a few weeks ago, and Matthew 1:3 tells us that Judah had a son named Perez, or Perez. I don't know how to pronounce it in Hebrew. And Perez. And that through Perez, Judah's son, is counted the line of David and the line of Jesus. So how did Judah have a son named Perez? And that's the story we're going to look at today. Matthew also tells us the name of Perez's mother. Does anyone without peeking know the name of, there you go.
Tamar.
Tamar or Tamar, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I've been thinking Tamar in my mind, so that's what I'm going to say. Turn to Genesis chapter 38. Okay, we're going to read the story of Tamar. Now, I want to warn you that this story is R-rated, or maybe worse, okay? And if you're paying close attention, you'll see that there was a wardrobe malfunction on the picture we had to cover up. So that's not exactly in the story. That's just a Renaissance, you know, imagination going wild. But something like that. Anyway, that's part of the story. The Bible is always honest about its characters. And so, you know, today is no exception. In fact, today might be the main example of the Bible being honest about its characters. Okay, to set the stage, Judah marries a Canaanite woman. Okay, that probably wasn't a good idea. That might have been his first mistake, to marry someone outside of Israel, contrary to what God wanted the Israelite people to do. But that's what he did. Let's start reading, or Jeff actually is going to start reading in Genesis 38, verse 8.
Okay. Then Judah said to Onan, sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother. But Onan knew God would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up. For he thought, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's household.
Okay, I probably wrote down, didn't start the scripture early enough, but it says Judah provided his firstborn son for Tamar, and he was wicked and died. And then what Jeff read is he provided his secondborn son, Onan, to Tamar, and Onan was also wicked and died at God's hands. Okay, so I think what we have here is a parenting failure. Right, Judah's two out of his three sons were wicked. I personally think that Judah needed a course on good enough parenting. You know, he should have come to our classes and done a better job with his sons. But as it says, after Onan died, Judah promises to give Tamar his third son, Shelah, when he grew up. And Tamar's waiting patiently, but as the scripture says, this wasn't what Judah really was planning to do. He was afraid he would lose a third son, his last son, and so he really wasn't planning to give him to Tamar. Okay, let's read on. We have to read the account that's pictured on the screen, right? Okay, 38:12. We'll start in 13. And Tamar was told, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep. She took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up and sat at the entrance to Enam, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up and she had not been given him in marriage. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He turned to her at the roadside and said, let me come into you, for he did not know she was his daughter-in-law. She said, what will you give me that you may come into me? He answered, I will send you a young goat from the flock. And she said, if you give me a pledge until you send it. He said, what pledge shall I give you? She replied, your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand. So he gave them to her, went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood. Okay, Tamar sees that Judah is not keeping his promise. According to the custom of the time, she should have a husband and the opportunity to have children. But she is denied those things because Judah is not keeping his word. So she tricks him into sleeping with her, and that's how she conceives and gets pregnant. Now, I would not recommend this behavior. There are better ways to confront people who aren't keeping their promises. The best thing you can say is that she was resourceful and came up with a plan to get the children that she was deserved. And she also didn't have many other options, as we're going to see in just a minute. If she had gotten pregnant any other way, she would have died. Okay, now Annie, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay, so Judah is prepared to kill her for her immorality. He seems to forget his own. You know, sometimes we see the speck in somebody else's eye and forget the log in our own. So she faces death, and she's at the moment of crisis, and she has to stand up to him. Now, he's the patriarch. He's the ruler of the family. He has the right to kill her. He's not proved himself righteous up to this point. And the only way out she has is to confront him with his sin. That's not a good option, but that's the option she chooses. And this is the moment when she found her voice. She spoke up and said the truth and confronted the sinner and brought out the evidence. And at that moment, he was inspired to do the right thing. You know, he recognized that she was being more righteous than him. He relented in the death sentence, allowed her to live unmolested after that. And so it came out good that she found her voice, that she was willing to stand up to him and in effect, challenge him to do the right thing. And he did. Amen. And that's the inspiring moment in Tamar's life. Now, we're not going to read the whole thing, but the next few verses say that she has twins. And the firstborn twin is named Perez. And that's the line that God chose to go to David and to Jesus. He didn't choose Shelah, the other son. He chose Perez. So he honored Tamar by grafting her, if you will, in to the family line of Jesus. A woman who was not perfect, but who spoke up at the right time. Amen? Turn to Joshua chapter 2. Now we're going to look at a second woman. And she's also mentioned in Matthew as part of the lineage of Jesus. Tamar pretended to be a prostitute. This woman really was a prostitute. Rahab. Ben, if you could read Joshua 2, 1 through 7. Amen. Okay, I think most of us know this story. You know, Joshua sends the two spies. Rahab protects them from the king of Jericho. You know, Gary Robertson once said these spies were middle schoolers because the Bible says they're young men, and the definition of young on the low end is middle schoolers. I'm not so sure. I think maybe he sent out, you know, a little bit older guys. You know, I think maybe that Joshua sent out two millennials as spies. like then, okay? So that's who went out, and they chose a house of the prostitute to hide in. You know, maybe not the best decision, but it was the hand of God at work, and God worked in that situation. Okay, Roxanne is going to read the next part of the passage. Amen. Okay, this is amazing if you think about it. Here's Rahab, a Canaanite woman living in the town of Jericho, a prostitute, but she has faith in God. She's heard stories about God, the God of the Israelites. These are the first two Israelites she's ever met, but she's already heard stories, stories that are at this point more than 40 years old, crossing the Red Sea. That was more than 40 years before Jericho. And she's heard about the defeat, Moses defeating the kings across the Jordan. That's a couple of years before this. I mean, she's heard about God, and she's seen the fear it's caused in her own people. And she's putting her faith in God. It's really an amazing story that this woman in this place, in this time, with her background, would put her faith in God. Amen. Okay. And this is where she found her voice. Right? She found her voice. She spoke up. She took bold and resourceful action just like Tamar. She hid the spies. She lies to her own king. And she cuts a deal with the spies. She said, "Look, I saved you. Now you save me and my family." She acts on her faith. She takes bold action. She finds her voice. She seizes the opportunity to save herself and her family. And so this is her great inspirational moment where she rises to the occasion to act in faith in a moment of great peril to herself and her family. You know, and she was a prostitute. You know, some scholars, they like to focus on the Hebrew word for prostitute here, and they say, depending, it can mean innkeeper, and maybe she was running an inn, not a brothel. But the problem with that, of course, is that in the New Testament, she's also referred to as a prostitute. And the Greek word has no ambiguity. It only means one thing. And so from the Bible, we know she was a prostitute, not an innkeeper, and yet she overcame her circumstance. She overcame this sinful background, you know, and put her faith in God, saved her people, and God blessed that. God blessed that. Amen? Well, Abram's going to read how the story comes out.
Shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city. Every man straight before him, and they captured the city. And they devoted all of the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, donkeys, with the edge of the sword. When the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her. So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the gold and the silver and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab, the prostitute, and all her father's household, and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved her life. She has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho.
Amen. So Jericho was destroyed, but Rahab and her family were saved. And it says that she was still living at the time of the book of Joshua was written. So the writers of the books of Joshua, the writer of the book, knew Rahab and her family. Matthew tells us that Rahab married a man named Salmon, and that he had a son. She had a son. Her son's name was? Anybody know? Boaz. Does anybody know Boaz's wife? Ruth. There you go. So that's how Rahab and her family get folded into the lineage of Jesus, through Boaz and Ruth and on down again to David, the line of kings, and ultimately to Jesus. Okay. Actually, next week's class will be about Ruth. Amen. Okay. Well, y'all were already answering trivia questions, and I hadn't put up my trivia slide again. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hey, in the Faith Hall of Fame, how many women are mentioned by name? Two. Somebody said it. Two. Number one is? Well, Rahab is number two. Number one is Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And number two is Rahab. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, but because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. So she was saved by faith. She put her faith in God. Despite her circumstances, despite the unlikeliness of her being a person to put her faith in God. And she married, she had a family of her own, she became part of Israel, and she became, and her son, part of the line of Jesus. Amen? Well, I hope the two women we've talked about today, Tamar and Rahab, have inspired you. They have inspired me. You know, they both overcame difficult circumstances. They both found their courage. They both found their voice at the right time to speak up, to do the right thing. And because of that, God blessed them. He blessed them. He gave them children when they were not likely to have children in their circumstance. And not just any children, but children listed in Matthew 1 along with their mothers as part of the family tree of Jesus. And, you know, what this teaches me is that God can use each one of us. God can use all of us. Despite our background, despite what sin we might have committed, despite our shortcomings, our past, He can wash all that away. We, as disciples of Jesus, we can find our voice. We can find our gift. We can do what God calls us to do, to serve His people, to serve His church, to help do His will, to help advance His kingdom, to pass faith on to the next generation. You know, God can use all of us and the talents He's given us to do these things, just like He did with Tamar and Rahab. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then we can go get our children and have our worship service. Dear God, we thank You for these two stories today, for these women, for their faith, their courage, God, and we pray that You would help us all to be inspired by this class, by future classes in this series, that we can find our voice, we can find our gift, we can serve You, we can really see how You want to work in our lives and make us a vital member of Your church, helping advance Your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.